This is a sermon I preached a long time ago. I gave it the title, This Sermon is Rated R. So I'm going to preach an R-rated sermon this morning. I got that title because, you know, in the movie industry, they give ratings to movies. You can go to a rated movie that's rated G or PG or PG-13 and R, and that's as far as I'll go. But they're giving ratings to the movies. And some of you recall that, I don't remember what year it was now, that when Mel Gibson released a movie called The Passion of the Christ. How many of you remember that? The Passion of the Christ. That was a movie that about, of course, the life of Jesus Christ. It was about the cross, and it was rated R. It was not rated R because of language. It was not rated R because of nudity or anything like that. It was rated R because of the violence and because of the blood, really. And so after watching that movie, I decided that I wanted to preach a message on the blood. And so I've given this message the title of This Sermon is Rated R. My text is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I hope you found it by now. Would you join me in standing as I read from God's Word today? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I'm going to read the entire verse. I want to spend my time talking about the latter part of the verse. And then after I've made these comments about this passage of Scripture, we will observe the Lord's Supper. The writer of Hebrews said, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." I want you to think about that phrase. "And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this time we've had already to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the music today that has taken us to the cross and reminded us of your sacrifice, the blood that was shed that we might have forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to see some baptized today because they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know there are others who will be baptized before long. And God, there are probably folks in this room today who have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that today might be the day when the Word of God and the Spirit of God work in their heart and they become to understand their great need for Jesus. So Lord, speak to us today. Help us to know what you want us to do. And I pray that when this message is over and the invitation is given, that all of us who know what you want us to do, that our answer to you will be yes. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, was a very violent film, and it had a lot of bloodshed in it. I remember whenever the movie begins with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there in the garden, the Bible talks about how great sweat drops of blood dripped from his brow, and that was depicted in the movie. I remember one of the most graphic scenes in that movie was whenever Jesus went to Pilate's court, where he was beaten by Roman soldiers with the cat of nine tails, and he was so severely punished there. It was one of the most graphic, moving parts of the entire movie. About 45 minutes of nothing but Jesus being scourged there in Pilate's court. I remember as he was taken to the place called Calvary there, and spikes were driven in his hands and in his feet. I also remember that by the time he got there, that whenever you saw the face, the face of the man who was portraying the Lord Jesus was so marred and so unrecognizable. I think that's what the Bible means when it says that whenever he was beaten, the King James said, "We esteemed him not." That is, we did not even recognize him. His body had been so disfigured. Some criticized that movie because they said that it was too graphic. I confess to you that is a movie that's hard to watch. I do remember several years ago as we were celebrating Easter weekend, and we were having, of course, we had Sunday morning Easter. On Saturday, we had our annual extravaganza, but on Friday night, in this place, we showed the movie, The Passion of Christ. We had a huge screen set right here where I'm standing, and I sat down there on the front row to watch that movie, and I remember when it got to the scene of Jesus being crucified on the cross. I'm just being honest with you right now. I remember whenever that was so graphic that I almost wanted just to say, stop the movie. It was so unbearable almost. So I say to you today, I know it's hard to watch, but I also say to you today, I believe it's necessary to watch. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without Jesus going to the cross and shedding his blood and giving his life, there is no salvation. We live in a world today that wants salvation without the cross. They want salvation without the bloodshed. They want to have a right relationship with God, but they don't like to talk about what happened there on Mount Calvary where Jesus shed his precious blood. That's why today there are many churches that have removed all the songs that have anything to do with the blood. They don't sing about the blood. They call it something like a slaughterhouse gospel. And so they remove the blood, and they don't talk about the verses in the Bible that talk about the blood. And so they have removed all of that. And I would suggest to you today that if you remove the cross, if you remove the blood, you remove the very essence of what it means to be saved, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so without apology today, I'm going to preach an R-rated sermon for you because I want us to camp around this little phrase, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I want to say three simple things about the blood, and then I'm going to give an invitation, and I'm going to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ if you've never done that. And then after that, we will observe the Lord's Supper this morning. So I want to begin by talking about these three simple points about the blood. Number one, I want to say to you today, the blood that I'm talking about, it is special blood. It is special blood. If you've read the Bible any time at all, you understand that the blood is very prominent in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, you don't get very far into the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, when the Bible says Adam and Eve sinned, the scripture says that blood had to be shed in order that the nakedness of Adam and Eve could be covered. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 says, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And in order for God to make coats of skin, an innocent animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. So there in Genesis chapter 3, blood was shed. You may also remember in the book of Exodus that whenever it came time for Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that blood of an innocent lamb had to be shed. Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Listen. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. So an innocent lamb was killed. Blood was shed, and blood was placed on the doorpost and the lintel. As you continue to read the scripture, you will find a man by the name of Solomon. And the Bible says that Solomon sacrificed some 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. And whenever you read the New Testament, the blood is mentioned some 255 times in the New Testament. Whenever Herod had every baby under the age of 2 years killed, blood was shed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the Roman soldiers named Malchus, the Bible says blood was shed. So you cannot read the Bible without seeing blood being shed everywhere. But I'm saying this to you today. When the writer of Hebrews said, "And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission," he was talking about special blood. He was not talking about any of those other bloods that we're talking about. He's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he said, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood," he said, "the precious blood of Jesus Christ." We snuck that in just a little while ago. I don't know if snuck is a word, but it is now. We snuck that in a while ago whenever the choir was singing. Did you hear it? They snuck in that old song that said, "Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." The songwriter said, "It is precious blood." Another songwriter said his blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb, but his blood was precious blood, and it washed the sins of man. And so we're not talking about just any old blood. We're talking about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Go with me to the Garden of Gethsemane and see great sweat drops of blood fall there to the ground. That is precious blood. Go back to Pilate's court and see the Roman soldiers flog him within an inch of his life, and blood was shed. That is the precious blood. Watch them take a crown of thorns and place it upon his head, and that's when blood was shed. Go up Calvary's mountain. Watch him nailed there in his hands and his feet, and that's where blood was shed. That's the blood that the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he said, "And without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission." One of the tragedies of our sin-sick world today is people think very little of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't resonate in the modern world today. Again, my mind, as I was looking over this sermon once again, it went back to that old movie, and I remember, and probably some of you do as well, that whenever Jesus was there beaten in Pilate's court, there was a scene where Mary was there, and she had a cloth, and she was wiping up the blood of her precious son. It broke my heart as I watched that, because whenever I see that movie, listen, that blood did not mean anything to those Roman soldiers. As a matter of fact, they had sneers on their face. They were trained professional executors, and it did not matter to them that the blood of Jesus was being shed. It was like a game to them. It was a game to them, but for Mary, it was precious blood, and she was wiping up the blood of her son. It's an old story I've told many times. I don't like to tell it, but it illustrates my point. The story of a family. They lived out on a very busy street, and they had a small boy, and he was outside playing on that busy street, and the ball that he was playing with went out into the street. And you probably know the story. That little boy went after the ball. He was tragically struck by a car. The rescue was called. They put him inside. They rushed him to the hospital. They did all that they could for that precious little boy, but they could not save his life. Time went by, and after a while, of course, they're at the hospital. The mom, the dad, the family, they got back in the car. They drove back to their house where the accident had happened. And there on that busy street, there were cars that were just going up and down the street. And that little boy's blood was still in the street. And I never will forget the story. They said that father, he took his garden hose and he went out into that road and he stopped the traffic and he washed away the blood of his son, because those who were driving up and down the highway, that blood meant nothing to them, but to that father, that was precious blood. I want to tell you today, in this world that we live in, there are many people who have no regard whatsoever for the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm saying to you today that whenever you go to Mount Calvary and you see him nailed there between those two thieves and you see that blood that was shed, I'm saying to you today, it was special blood. I want to say a second thing to you about the blood. It's not only special blood. The Bible also says that it is satisfying blood. What I mean by that is that the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of a holy God. And the Bible says to us that God had looked at mankind and mankind had sinned. And the Bible says sin had to be punished. Ezekiel says it twice in chapter 18, verse 4 and verse 20. Ezekiel said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That is, the punishment for sin is death. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then just a few chapters later, chapter 6, verse 23, he said this. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." That is, the result of sin is death. The payment, the punishment for sin is death. What we get because of our sin is death. And so the Bible says a holy God, when he sees a sinful man, somebody has to pay the penalty for sin. Somebody has to die. Isaiah said in chapter 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." What was Isaiah saying? And whenever he said, "But he was wounded," he is a reference to the coming Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded. He died in our place. Jesus satisfied the demands of a holy God. Sin had to be paid for, sin had to be satisfied, and Jesus was the one who did it. That's why we like to sing the old song, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow." I'm saying today that whenever Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, that God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice. He was satisfied with the sacrifice of our son, of his son. He was satisfied at the temple. When Jesus was just a boy and he went there with Mary and Joseph, the Bible says that while he was there, that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. God was satisfied with the work of his son. Whenever he went to the Jordan River to be baptized by a man named John, and the Bible says that whenever he was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." That was God the Father was saying, "I'm satisfied with my son." When he went up on top of Mount Transfiguration and his glory shone forth in front of Peter, James, and John, and he visited there on that mountain with Moses and Elijah, and the Bible says a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved son, hear you him." God was saying, "I'm satisfied with my son." When he goes to Calvary's mountain and the Bible says he's suspended between earth and sky, and when the sun got to its height at 12 o'clock, the Bible says God turned the lights off, and the Bible says that whenever Jesus died, that the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to the bottom. God was saying, "I'm satisfied with my son." And by the way, on that first Easter Sunday morning, whenever the earth began to shake and the stone was rolled away and Jesus stepped forth, God the Father was saying, "I'm satisfied with the sacrifice of my son." So it is satisfying blood that we look at. Some of you may remember a friend of mine who preached here many years ago. Had a strange name. His name was Ruffin Snow. R-U-F-F-I-N. Ruffin Snow. Some of you may remember Ruffin. Good looking guy. A lot of people said we could be twins. Just kidding. He lived in Washington State for a while, and he called somebody living in another state, and he said, "It's Ruffin Snow in Washington." And the man said, "It's who?" He said, "It's Ruffin Snow in Washington." Finally, the man replied and said, "Well, it's Ruffin Snow here where I live too." The reason I think of Ruffin when I think about this was because whenever we would go out and eat, invariably, whenever he was through eating, Ruffin would lean back in his chair and he would say, "I'm suffering from satisfaction." You know what he meant, right? I couldn't eat another bite. You know, that's what I'm suffering from satisfaction. When I thought of that, I thought that maybe that whenever Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on the cross of Calvary, that God the Father leaned back in his throne and said, "I'm suffering from satisfaction. I'm satisfied with everything that my Son has done." What do I mean by that? Oh, listen, that when Jesus shed his blood, nothing else needs to be done. You remember that before Jesus died, he said these critical words. He said, "It is finished." That is, everything that needed to be done to purchase your salvation and mine has been done on the cross of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, he does not need your works to add to his salvation. He does not need your baptism to add to his salvation. He doesn't even need your money to add to your salvation. He doesn't need the works that you do to add to your salvation. Whenever Jesus shed his precious blood, that was all that was necessary. God the Father was absolutely satisfied with the blood of his Son. So you don't need to bring anything else, friend. That's why we sing, "Just as I am." I come just as I am, a sinner, unworthy, understanding that Jesus Christ has satisfied the holy demands of God, and I'm coming to receive his gift of eternal life. Let me say one final thing to you. I've said this is an R-rated sermon. We're talking about the blood. It's special blood. It's satisfying blood, but I also want to say to you today, it is saving blood. The writer of Hebrews said, "And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And the word remission means there is no forgiveness. One of the best words in all the Bible, forgiveness. And it's only through the shed blood of Jesus that there is forgiveness. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That is, for the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "In whom," speaking of Jesus, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." The forgiveness of sins. I alluded to earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Peter said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ," that is, you were redeemed, you were forgiven by the precious blood of Christ, not by silver and gold. You cannot buy it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, John said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so it's the blood that is saving blood. Revelation 1, verse 5, one more verse says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood." The songwriter asked, "What can wash away my sin?" And then he answered his own question, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Then he asked again, "What can make me whole again?" And he answered again, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." My dear friend, the only way that you'll ever be saved is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, please don't misunderstand. There's nothing magical. There's nothing mystical about the blood. When we talk about Jesus shedding his blood, it is a message that simply says that Jesus died, that Jesus gave up his life in order that we could have life, that Jesus died so that we didn't have to die, that Jesus purchased our salvation. So whenever Jesus died, there is no salvation, my dear friend, without coming to the cross where Jesus shed his blood and died for you. You say, "Well, what if he sees my tears?" Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Well, what if he sees my sincerity? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What if he sees my good works? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What if he sees my baptism without the shedding of blood? There is no remission. What if he sees me observing the Lord's Supper without the shedding of blood? There is no remission. What? It doesn't matter what you want to say. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. End of story. The critics, they don't like sermons like this. They don't like sermons about the blood because they want a salvation without a Savior. When they go to talking about Jesus, they want to say, yeah, but Jesus taught all about love, and it's just all about love. Jesus did teach about love. But the greatest demonstration of love that you'll find anywhere is whenever Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for you and me. He said, oh, what? But Jesus talked all about peace. This is a message of peace, and we like the message of peace. Yes, Jesus did talk about peace, but there is no peace with God unless you come to the cross of Jesus Christ. So, oh, well, but Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness, and we ought to all forgive one another. Yes, he did talk about forgiveness, but the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission. And so, my dear friend, what I'm talking to you today is about the heart and the soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you take the songs about the blood, if you take the scriptures about the blood, you take the sermons about the blood, and you say, we don't want to talk about those anymore, you have ripped the heart out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So there's an R-rated sermon. All about the blood. And you'd say, well, Pastor, all right, I get that. So if I want that forgiveness, what do I have to do? Well, let me continue in this R-rated sermon. Four things, and they all begin with an R. Many of you have heard them before, but it's true. So let me close this R-rated sermon with four words, four statements that will show you how you can have eternal life. Number one, realize you're a sinner. That's the first R. Realize that you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that mean me? Yes, it does. Does that mean you? Yes, it does. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to realize you're a sinner. R number two, you must recognize that Jesus is God's Son. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can say that and roll that off our tongues, but I want to tell you, you better stop and think about what that says. That simply says that Jesus Christ is not like anybody else. He is God's only begotten Son, which means he is unique. He's one of a kind. There's nobody in this world like Jesus Christ, and you must recognize that he is who this book says he is, that he is the Son of God. Recognize that Jesus is God's Son. Are you listening? You have to realize you're a sinner, first R. Secondly, you have to recognize Jesus as God's Son. Third R, you must repent of your sin. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does it mean, repent? It means to have a change of mind. It means that you say, I don't like the direction I'm going. I don't like the road that I'm on. I don't like where this is going to take me. I want to turn around. So you repent of your sin. R number four of the R-rated sermon. You must receive Jesus as your Savior. John said, he said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And then he said, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So how do you receive him? It's just through a simple childlike prayer. It's just asking him to come into your life. I don't know how many people I've asked over the years. Has there ever been a time, has there ever been a place in your life whenever you by faith have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you by faith have claimed him as your Lord and your Savior, when you've asked him to come into your life? You might say, well, Pastor, I was baptized like that. I'm not asking you, were you baptized? You say, well, Pastor, I joined a church long ago. I'm not asking you, did you join a church? You might say to me, well, Pastor, I paid my taxes. I'm not asking if you paid your taxes. I'm asking you, has there ever been a time in your life whenever you by faith have said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. Be my Savior. And trusted him with all your heart. Now, you can do a lot of other things, folks, but if you don't do that, you won't have eternal life. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission. Jesus did it for you, and you need to receive him as your Savior. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Right now, there are some of you in this room that if you were to be honest, you would have to say, no, I have never placed my faith in Jesus. Now, you might say, I've joined the church. You might even say, I joined this church. But you've never placed your faith in Jesus. And right now, God brought you here to this place for this moment for you to make a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to encourage you to do that. You say, what I do? I'm going to ask you to pray silently in your heart as I pray out loud. If this is what you need to do, you want to do, I'm not trying to pressure you into doing it, but I'm telling you it's what you need to do in order you might be saved, have eternal life. So today, if you've never asked him to come in your life, right now, just in the silence of your heart, pray something like this as I pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on a cross for my sin. I believe you rose again from the dead. And right now, I want to turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life. Please forgive me of my sin and be my Savior today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Please help me every day to live for you. Your heads are still bowed, your eyes are still closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. And wherever we stand, I'm going to invite people all over this room today to make public your commitment to Jesus Christ. There may be some of you right now that you prayed with me just a moment ago. Down deep in your heart, you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life. You meant that with all your heart. I'm going to invite you to come. Take one of our pastors who are standing at the altar. Just come take them by the hand and say, today, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you get started in your Christian life. There are some of you in this room today, whenever you saw these two ladies get baptized, you thought to yourself, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. And you ought to come today, take one of these pastors by the hand and say, I've been saved, and I want to get baptized. Do it today. Some of you today, you're looking for a church home. God brought you here. And you know this is where God wants you to serve. If that's you today, I want to invite you to come. What a great day to come and make that kind of commitment to Christ. Maybe there's some in this room today, you just need to pray. You know the Lord, but there are just some burdens on your heart, some things you need to talk to the Lord about. I want to invite you to come down here to these front steps, to this altar area, and just come and pray. Whatever's on your heart, just come share with the Lord, and you can go back to your seat. Just come and spend a few moments in prayer. Father, today, thank you for your presence in this room. We pray now, God, that you'll guide us right now, you'll speak to us, and that we'll do what you ask us to do. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please join me in standing right now. God wants you to come. God spoke to your heart. Right now, come. Before we observe this Lord's Supper, maybe some things you need to get right with the Lord, come right now while we sing.